Talks between Israel and Hamas over Gaza remain deadlocked this morning. Israel wants to extend a ceasefire, which was part of phase one of an agreement between the two sides. However, Hamas has refused, arguing it's time to enter phase two of the talks process. Israel's response has been to stop all humanitarian aid entering Gaza. This is how the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu explained his decision.
Israel has decided to stop letting goods and supplies into Gaza, something we've done for the past 42 days. We've done that because Hamas steals the supplies and prevents the people of Gaza from getting them. It uses these supplies to finance its terror machine, which is aimed directly at Israel and our civilians, and this we cannot accept. We will take further steps if Hamas continues to hold our hostages.
Greg Colstom is the Middle East correspondent for The Economist. A short time ago, I asked him, what have the consequences of the blockade been for the more than 2.3 million Palestinians in the coastal strip?
I think we will see those consequences quite quickly. I mean, if you think back to the beginning of the war in October 2023, it didn't take long after Israel initially shut off the flow of aid before we started hearing reports of shortages and hunger in Gaza. And I would expect something similar to happen this time. Of course, people starting from a much lower base, they've been through 16 months of not only war, but of restrictions and problems with the flow of humanitarian aid. This is also the Ramadan holiday. It's a time when people would typically be eating more, be consuming more food at iftars, at celebrations in the evening. So I think quite quickly we will see consequences.
Extending the ceasefire rather than entering phase two of the talks process was a proposal which came from the US envoy Steve Witkoff. What was the logic behind it?
Well, the logic behind it was that Prime Minister Netanyahu has made it inevitable at this point that phase one needs to be extended. There were talks about phase two that were meant to begin a month ago today, on February 3rd. Netanyahu repeatedly delayed those talks. He refused to send Israeli negotiators to take part. And the message coming out of Israel in recent weeks has been very clear that he doesn't want to negotiate phase two, that what he wants to do is extend phase one. So if you're Steve Witkoff at this point, your choices are either to let the deal fall apart entirely and let the war resume, or try to salvage something by extending phase one. So he's taken the pragmatic course, I think, by extending it, but there's still no guarantee that those talks are going to happen and that phase two is ever going to come about.
Well, what is Hamas saying?
They have in public rejected this talk of a six-week extension to phase one. The idea is that it would be extended until mid-April, that on the first day of the extension, Hamas would release about half of the remaining hostages, the 59 remaining hostages in Gaza, and then it would release the other half at the end of that six-week extension if there was some agreement on phase two. So Hamas has publicly said they're not going to go along with this. In private, the message is a bit different. They are willing to extend phase one. They'd like to keep Gaza calm, at least through Ramadan, which will run through most of March. And they are willing to release groups of additional hostages in order to secure that extension. But I think one problem is going to be this demand that they release half of them upfront on day one of this new agreement. I don't think they're going to want to release that many hostages all at once, because they see the hostages as their only remaining leverage over Israel, and they don't want to throw away half of that leverage all in one go.
Well, as this brinkmanship continues, are there outside negotiators involved as well? For example, Qatar?
Well, the Egyptians and the Qataris have been the negotiators since the beginning of the war, 16 months ago, but I think they're both increasingly frustrated at this point. For Egypt, there is a looming deadline in about a week's time when Israel is meant to withdraw from the Philadelphia corridor, which is a strip of land between Egypt and Gaza, where Israeli troops have been deployed since last May. The Egyptians are very keen for Israel to get its troops off of their border. They see the presence of Israeli troops there as a violation of the peace agreement they signed back in 1979 with Israel. And they're very angry at talk coming out of Prime Minister Netanyahu's office that Israel is not going to meet that deadline, that it's going to keep troops in the Philadelphia corridor. So I think the mood in Egypt is increasingly that they don't want to play mediator. anymore. And I think for Qatar, they're also quite frustrated. They have come in for a lot of criticism throughout the war for their role as an interlocutor with Hamas, for their role over the years in supplying money to the Hamas-led government in Gaza as part of an agreement they had with the Israeli government. They've come in for a lot of criticism for all of that. And I think they, too, are getting frustrated with being in this position of trying to negotiate between Hamas and a very intransigent Israeli government.
The picture you're painting is very dark, Greg. How likely do you think is that we're on the road to a return to conflict?
I think it's more and more likely by the day. I do think there is a chance that we will get some kind of extension over the next few weeks. Hamas, again, would like to extend the ceasefire. They would like it to become a permanent ceasefire. And I think for Netanyahu, there are political considerations in Israel. Even though his right-wing government wants to resume the war, most Israelis do not. Poll after poll of Israelis shows that they want to complete the ceasefire, make it a permanent deal, and secure the release of all of the remaining hostages. So I think those political pressures will maybe buy us a few more weeks. But I think we still then come back to the underlying dilemma of one party to this conflict does not want to permanently end the war, at least on terms that are acceptable to the other party. And so I do think it looks increasingly unlikely that we're ever going to get to phase two, to a permanent end.
If there is the worst possible outcome, is there any sign of the US trying to advance the concept articulated by President Trump of emptying Gaza's population? It's been described by opposition parties here in Ireland as a plan for ethnic cleansing.
You know, it really depends on who you ask in Washington. There are some people who work on the Middle East in the White House and at the State Department who insist that everything Trump is saying is just a negotiating tactic. He's trying to put pressure on Hamas and he doesn't actually intend to follow through with it. But then you talk to other people who say they're trying to put together a summit of property developers to talk about opportunities to build this Riviera that Trump imagines building on a depopulated Gaza. He posted this very bizarre video on his social media a few days ago, this AI-generated video showing what Trump Gaza, as he called it, might look like in the future. It's really hard to say what he wants to do with this and with so many other issues around the world right now.
And that was Greg Karlstrom, Middle East correspondent for The Economist.